In a surprising twist, Russia has warned Iran of a possible joint US-Israel strike, urging restraint and raising concerns about a broader regional war. It's a rare move from a longtime ally of Tehran. So what's behind the warning? Is Moscow shifting its stance? And what does this mean for NATO, the EU, and the strategic chessboard in the Middle East? Well, joining us now on the line is Professor Glenn Siegel from the NATO-EU Strategy Group at Cambridge. Professor, thanks so much for joining us on the Home Run. How unusual is it for Russia to publicly warn Iran, and what might be motivating this shift?
Good afternoon, Paula, and it's great to once again to be on Chai FM and speak to people in South Africa and wider. Yes, indeed, it's a very important question. And as George Bush used to say, what is the matter with August? Because all Middle East wars in terms of George Bush's regime started in August, both the father and the son. And this might be another one. Indeed, it's a very, very important juncture because it's unfinished business for everyone at the moment. And August is going to be a very important month, and also geopolitically in the grander picture for Russia and the United States. Of course, the United States and Israel, it is unfinished business. We are not quite certain exactly how much uranium is left, and we are not quite certain how much further Iran is going to retake it. For the International Atomic Energy Agency, they would like to have their inspectors back in. And Iran says, we have to negotiate that, or maybe we're even going to withdraw from the Non-Proliferation Treaty. Russia would like to actually reassert its role in the Middle East after having lost its major foothold in the Assad regime of Syria and after losing all face in terms of the United States and Israel's attack on Iran. And of course, we can't discount, in fact, China in this big scenario chess game. So to make it open and public, yes, that is unusual. It's very unusual. But it's also a warning shot for United States and Israel that if they do attack again in August to finish the unfinished business, then Russia is going to take sides. And the sides they're going to take is Iran. So this might see a bigger escalation in a broader geopolitical context.
And that's exactly what I was going to follow up by asking you, whether Moscow is genuinely concerned about escalation, or is it using this to manage its own regional interests?
Both, actually. One, it is definitely wanting to reassert itself regionally. It wants to have a foothold. It wants to have its naval ports in Djibouti. It wants to control the Red Sea. It is indeed wanting to control a great amount of the oil shipping and the Indian Ocean. But in the broader picture, we actually have to look at the fact that Russia is not doing too well with this Ukraine issue either. So geopolitically, Russia, or I can say specifically Putin, is feeling the fact that he is going to lose his place in history. And I think that's very important for Vladimir Putin, his place in history. So making the stance right now is a Putin venture to say, I'm still here and I want to reassert my place in history as a great world leader, a conqueror, and somebody who's brought the Soviet Union status back to the world of Russia.
Professor, do you believe that a joint US-Israel strike on Iran is likely, or is Russia overstating the threat?
Well, it's all a matter of timing. Now, we have to look at the fact that it is unfinished business with Iran. And somehow, somewhere, sometime, Israel and the United States will have to finish business with Iran. That is to remove all potential that Iran will ever have for a nuclear missile capability, that is nuclear in terms of the weapon and missile in terms of its delivery system. And we haven't reached that stage yet. We are at a critical junction right now this month of trying to bring Iran back to a negotiation table and bring the International Atomic Energy IAEA inspectors back into Iran, which they are not there. So unless Iran comes back to the negotiation table, there is a high probability that United States and Israel will have to take further military action. The question is against what targets? The question is how long will this attack be? And the bigger, longer-term question is the Ayatollah regime. That is the main issue, because it's not just a nuclear issue, not just a military issue in terms of the missiles. It's a regional interference. Hezbollah is still there. Hamas is still there. The Houthi in Tehran are still there. And behind the scenes is the Iranian Ayatollah puppet master. So at some point, that has to have a regime change, and nobody wants to do it effectively without an internal replacement. We all remember the Iraq scenario, which is still under Syrian scenario, and the Libya scenario, and the Sudan scenario, and endless more. So at some point, there will have to be a longer-term solution, but in the shorter term, there is a high probability of a military strike. But other things right now happening in Israel this week might prevent it from happening this evening.
If such a strike was to happen, in other words, a U.S.-Israel strike on Iran, how serious do you think the regional fallout could be from Iran, Hezbollah, and other proxies?
I think at the moment Iran is very, very weak. And the big question is, what could Israel and the United States actually strike that would make a difference? And the answer is very little. In other words, all the major targets have been obliterated. There is the big question, where is the uranium at the moment, the leftover uranium? How much of it is there? So both Israel and the United States will be doing symbolic attacks, really, to force Iran into the negotiation table. The military attacks will not be against any substantial target that it needs to be destroyed. It is a political strike target to bring Iran into a negotiating stance and bring it back into the fold of international relations, of being a state which has congenial relations with its neighbors and the rest of the world. And if need be, those are going to be the strikes. In other words, we might be looking at more targeted assassinations. We might be looking even at the Ayatollah himself.
What would Europe's role be in such a scenario? Would NATO and the EU support American moves or hesitate?
Well, President Donald Trump and NATO are not on the best of terms. He believes that the rest of NATO should be doing more burden sharing because NATO, according to him, and quite frankly, I think it's true, that NATO really is just the United States, Britain, a bit of France, but everyone else is just enjoying the umbrella protection. Yes, but the rest of NATO will follow through because essentially we're looking at the potential missile range of Iran of reaching states in Europe or states which have good relations with Europe. In other words, Kuwait, the United Arab Emirates, and Oman in the Gulf region. So NATO in the EU will follow suit, but unhappily. I say that because EU and China even have always been down the line of they prefer negotiations, they prefer direct talks, they prefer some sort of agreement, as was the 2015 agreement with Iran. Going down the line of military strikes is not the EU way of doing things. But if need be, they are not going to complain about having that threat removed. In fact, behind the scenes, I think even for the French president, who has always been very vocal, the entire French nation has been very vocal against U.S. military action, will quietly actually applaud the fact that they have less threats to deal with themselves.
Professor, you did suggest earlier that Russia might be sending a veiled message to Israel or the U.S. through this warning. How do you think it might impact Israeli decision-making, if at all?
I think it will actually impact it very, very profusely. Bibi Netanyahu has tread a very fine line. He is very welcome in Moscow, particularly due to the fact that we have a very large Russian immigrant population in Israel, and also due to the fact that we see eye to eye with Russia on many issues regarding things such as other parts of the Middle East, for example, Syria. And we want to keep a very good relations with Russia and not break them. We don't want to have a Russian fleet off our coast because they're using a Syrian base, for example. We want to see better relations with Syria and even Syria joining the Abraham Accords. And that is something which Russia can assist us with. Russia can be a major player in getting that done, which no one else can. The United States is not there. The United States' power has weakened in the Middle East as it has worldwide over the decades since the end of the Cold War. So Bibi Netanyahu is going to want to tread a very fine line to ensure Israeli immediate security, but also long-term peace. And that long-term peace will, unfortunately, at this stage, have to involve Putin. But as we always say, how long can Putin be in power? And his replacement might, in fact, be the better solution than Putin. But at the moment, we want to maintain good relations both with the Oval Office as well as the Kremlin.
Professor Glenn Siegel from the NATO EU Strategy Group, University of Cambridge, thank you so much for your insight. You have some really valid points that you have raised, and certainly as alliances shift and old partners issue new warnings, the global order seems anything but stable. And in this case, the message from Moscow may be just the beginning.